All of the major news stories made simple and easy for your listening pleasure. We'll break it down for you in keywords for the segment. We're joined by Adam in the studio. Good morning.
Hello, Luna. Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well, as always. How about yourself?
Not too shabby. Not too shabby. And for good Thursday, that's not so bad.
It's good to hear, yes.
All right, let's jump into our keyword news portion. We're going to try to clarify some of these major headlines for you, starting with our local pandemic coverage. This is our first keyword of the day.
Pandemic.
Did I steal your thunder? I apologize.
That's fine.
Starting with our pandemic coverage. Cases are rising back up amid the fast spread of the Omicron. It seems that we'll exceed 6,000 today in our daily figures. What's the latest?
Yeah, so a bit of a worrying uptick, a bit more than some expected. But there were 5,249 cases between 12 a.m. to 9 p.m. yesterday. We keep seeming to get this kind of time frame when it comes to this segment, but that is the number of cases during that time, and that's more than 400 more than the same time the day before. It's also almost 1,700 more than the same period on the same day the week before as well. So that's a bit concerning. Considering daily cases are reported as of midnight, as you said, the number is expected to exceed 6,000 in today's announcement. The number of critically ill patients, though, has stayed in the 500, so still plateauing, if you will. And concerns over the spread of the Omicron variant is especially high ahead of the Lunar New Year holiday, so we could see another post-holiday spike. We'll have to keep our eyes on that. The hike in daily cases has come a day after the KDCA lifted the vaccine pass program at several multi-use facilities. I'm not saying it's because of that. It just happens to be coincidence, and it happened to be a hike a day after that happened.
I mean, it's hard for us to jump to a conclusion. There's a causal relationship there. It usually takes a few weeks for us to see the effects of these changes, but it just happened to be this way.
Exactly. If that was because, if that is one of the reasons, well, a day would be a bit too short. The effects of that will still, we'll have to weigh that out. Now, the vaccine pass scheme still remains, though, in high risk facilities such as restaurants and cafes. So it's not a complete easing of the measure. And the uptick also comes after private gathering caps were expanded to 6 people from 4. Though the business curfew is still at 9 and 10 p.m., of course, that depends on the business. So, more people are allowed to gather, but they still have to go home at the same time.
If we surpass the daily figure of 7,000, it seems that the government will intervene with stronger measures. We're not exactly sure to what extent, but know that there are also emergency plans for backup. On to our second keyword of the day.
Sato mine tensions.
The Japanese government is under pressure both from Korea and domestic conservative lawmakers over the push to list the Sato mine as a UNESCO World Cultural Heritage Site in Japan. What's the latest?
Yeah, so Korea opposes the listing due to the site being used for forced labor of Koreans. We went into this yesterday. And conservative lawmakers of Japan's ruling Liberal Democratic Party drew up a resolution yesterday calling on the government to submit the listing recommendation quickly. So it's facing pressures for both cases. That came during a meeting that was attended by the former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. The lawmakers said the government should provide counter-arguments against Korea's opposition, so they have to plan out a kind of rebuttal to any backlash or arguments that Korea has. Is what they're saying. These reportedly include denying that Koreans were forced into labor at the time. This is not the first time that they would make such a claim. But of course, there are a lot of evidence suggesting that the labor of Koreans was forced in nature. And this is leading to further concerns that Japan will again distort history in their favor to get this listing. A number of senior officials within the Japanese government, though, are urging caution against exacerbating already badly strained relations with Seoul. And they say it would be unwise to provoke Korea right before the presidential election as well. Whatever the outcome, the issue has the potential to trigger both a domestic backlash or antagonize Korea. And the Japanese government has about a couple of weeks. February 1st is the deadline for recommending a candidate site for the 2023 UNESCO listing, which the Japanese government is eyeing. But
it's not as if they don't have other options, right? I mean, it's not just about meeting that deadline. I think it's about what was promised. The last time a similar site that came into question by the Korean government was listed the Battleship Island, as we talked about yesterday, right? Yeah. If they follow through with the promises to provide the brochures and the educational knowledge of what took place, then perhaps a backlash could be subdued. That's just an idea. But February 1st is just weeks away.
But regarding the Sando mine, I mean, they're not making a recognition. Last time for Battleship Island, they said, oh, yes, we will recognize that they were forced labor. Of course, that promise wasn't made. This time, they're kind of sidelining it and saying that, well, we'll kind of enlist a period where forced labor wasn't happening in the 17th century.
So, right.
It's a bit of a difficult one, and it seems, well, nothing's been confirmed yet, but it seems that the Japanese government is, getting a lot of pressure from both sides, and we'll have to see what decision they come up with.
All right, moving on to our third keyword of the day.
Real estate tax.
So real estate tax has been a hot topic among presidential candidates with various campaign pledges on the matter coming out. The government, however, is also said to have a plan that will be announced in March. So tell us a little bit more about what's in store.
Yeah, so again, nothing confirmed. This is not an official...
Why the sigh?
This is not an official announcement, but it's a very hot topic and hot potato issue amongst... presidential candidates, and it's going back and forth on policies, and it gets quite confusing. But Changwon-dae spokesman Park Soo-young told NBC that the property tax issue is a very sensitive one, and approaches to taxation should be done carefully. I guess that's a bit obvious. And he said the Moon administration is going to announce a policy whereby single home owners who have a single home will be given breaks on both comprehensive real estate and holding taxes. And he said that's going to be announced in March. He said the government will do its best to cool the heated real estate market and keep house prices at a stable level within the remaining term of Moon Jae-in. And he noted that we are already seeing a stabilization of prices, in fact. The nation's house prices have continuously increased, of course, during Moon's administration, but a slowdown has been detected since the end of last year. Whether that's just temporary, we'll have to see. But Park added that real estate is a long-term and comprehensive measure, so he does realise that it needs to be kept on an eye on. And he said that policies should have that in mind. And despite Changwon-dae's confidence, experts still predict that prices will grow this year. So they're thinking, watchers are thinking, that it's just a temporary kind of dip in the prices.
All right, moving on to our fourth keyword of the day.
EV incentives.
The government is pushing to revise some incentives for electric vehicles for this year. So run us through the details.
Yeah, it includes providing subsidies to just over 20,000 EVs or electrical vehicles this year.
200,000?
200,000, rather.
Sure.
Thank you for that. that's about double from last year. So the government wants to basically increase the number of EVs that are eligible for subsidies, but they're going to cut down the amount of subsidies. Uh-huh. For example, it used to be 8 million won for sedans. That's going to be cut to 700 million won, and accordingly to trucks and other types of EVs as well. It's going to be a cut in subsidies, but more vehicles will be eligible, basically. And this is part of efforts to encourage more people to buy EVs, of course. Also, the value of the electric vehicle to get 100% subsidy will also be lowered. It was 60 million won last year. So basically, if an electric vehicle costs more than 60 million won, you don't get the subsidy. If it costs less, then you get 100% of it. But the government wants to lower that cap to 55 million. So cars priced between 55 to 85 million won will be eligible for about 50% of subsidies. If it's over that price of 85 million, then no incentive will be given. The government also plans to give incentives to companies as well to encourage them to take up more EVs, such as electric trucks who need them, and electric taxis as well will also still get a 2 million won subsidy. No changes in that.
All right, we're going
to 200 million won. Sorry, excuse me.
Did you say 2 million?
I said 2. It is 2 million. I don't know why I said 200 million. It is 2 million. Excuse me.
All right, then. Can we move on to our next keyword? All right, on to our fifth keyword of the day.
Samsung dominance.
Samsung has taken the top spot in the global smartphone market last year, which means it outpaced Apple. Run us through the latest.
Yeah, it's kind of like always a battle between the first and second place between Samsung and Apple.
And it was always really close.
It's always really close, and it's getting a bit boring, to be honest.
I bet you Samsung and Apple beg to differ.
Yeah, of course, a fight of pride, I guess it is. But according to the recent research by Counterpoint Research, Samsung smartphone sales held almost 19% of the market share. Apple had around 17%, so 2 percentage points behind. Chinese phone makers followed in the rankings. Xiaomi came in third. Now, this is interesting. In terms of annual sales, last year's figure was actually a record high for Xiaomi. So it's quickly catching up. And Xiaomi also enjoyed the biggest growth with 35% growth. Samsung's increase was not actually that big. It was risen by just under 1%. But it's still, of course, the mass volume and market power that it has. But they need to be watchful of these Chinese rivals, don't they?
Yes, I think both companies do, right?
Yeah.
On to our last keyword of the day.
Tonga tsunami.
Tonga's government says the island is facing an unprecedented disaster from a massive volcanic eruption and 15-meter tsunami waves. Just looking at the images was enough for us to fathom this was massive in scale.
Yeah.
What's the latest?
It was quite a scary sight, wasn't it? The images and the clips that came out. And that remark of unprecedented disaster is actually the first update since the volcanic eruption over the weekend.
Which is also concerning, just the fact that communication lines were cut so abruptly.
Exactly. But it wasn't really a fault of their own. The communication broke down due to a major undersea cable being severed amid the volcanic eruption and the tsunamis. Since then, information on the scale of the devastation had mostly come from reconnaissance aircraft. So just from eyes in the sky. On Tuesday, the office of Tonga's prime minister released a statement saying it had confirmed the deaths of three people, although the toll could rise, of course. The government has still not managed to make contact with several inhabited islands. Rescue teams have been sent to some of the outlying islands, including one where all the houses were destroyed, and another where just two homes remain. Aid efforts have also been hampered by ash continuing to fall from the volcano. Tongan officials have expressed concern as well that aid deliveries could spread COVID-19. Now, Tonga only recorded its first case back in October, so it was relatively COVID-free and safe from the virus. But of course, because of this disaster, officials coming in, humanitarian aid, there's also that risk of virus spreading.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you very much, Adam, for today's coverage. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.